This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. In a world where problems will always exceed the resources available to address them, philanthropy has a special responsibility to allocate its resources as effectively as possible to achieve significant social impact. Agency Inovasi Malaysia's Berbudi Berganda Social Impact Innovation Challenge aims to set the foundation for the creation of social groups that produce greater impact and effective reforms by empowering these organizations with the necessary know-how to deliver social services better. I have with me three of the 12 finalists of this challenge. They are Su Xiaoyin from Le Petites Chefs, Dick Lim Utek, who's managing partner and co-founder of Foodbox Enterprise, and Abby Hosanna, the backyard tour guide. Welcome to the show. How are all of you today?
Good.
I just want to find out, you know, you guys are all really young. What got you involved in wanting to make an impact as far as social innovation is concerned, Dick?
I started this social enterprise out of passion. So I've been involving myself in social entrepreneurship since my first semester in my university. And then later on, I saw a problem on my campus with this polystyrene boxes. So it actually prompted me to do something to address this issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And did you grow up in a family that, you know, was involved in philanthropy and you felt that this is something that you wanted to do? What is it that drew you to wanting to make a difference? I mean, you could have just walked away, really, Dick. I mean, who cares, right? What made you want to make a difference?
My family never involved in any social entrepreneurship. And to me, I think entrepreneurship is not just about like gain profit and everything. I think it's about giving back to the society. Mm-hmm. So actually, when I first involved in social entrepreneurship, I actually got the mindset that we have to contribute back to our community. So I started to have start a few projects, and then it really got me into doing a lot of social entrepreneurship activities.
What is Foodbox all about?
Okay, it's about reducing the usage of polystyrene boxes. Yes, so
I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Polystyrene boxes.
Yes,
it's the sight
toxic.
Of it.
Yeah.
So it's not only harmful to the environment, so it's also detrimental to our health.
Exactly.
So yeah. So I came up with an idea. I went to a survey, I conducted a survey, and I asked the restaurant owners, why are they using polystyrene boxes despite the university authorities banning them? So they told me that polystyrene boxes are much cheaper and widely available. So I told myself, this has to be addressed. So I came up with a solution where, in order to encourage them, we need to reduce the cost of eco-friendly boxes. So the eco-friendly boxes are mainly made from papers. So I came up with an idea to reduce the cost of eco-friendly boxes by having advertisement on it. So I find businesses and companies to advertise on the box. So I sell the box at a much cheaper price. Mm-hmm. To the restaurant owners.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Simply brilliant. What about yourself, Abby? I mean, you're part of the backyard tour guide. What is this all about?
Actually, I came up with my own vision to improve the standard living of my own community. I'm a Bidayo, one of the race in small, you can say the second largest race in Sarawak. Mm-hmm. So when I'm thinking about having a vision for my own community, I'm looking around. There's a lot of beautiful nature in Sarawak, the waterfalls, the cave, but they are hidden. And people are like, didn't know that this place exists in Sarawak.
Everyone goes to the Mulu Caves, isn't it?
Yeah. Even they go to Kuching, they will go to Culture Village.
Yeah.
The most is Semenggok Wildlife Center. So we're thinking about bringing these tourists to this kind of places and experience adventure tourism, despite also just visiting Kuching for the sake of the well-known places like Culture Center and other well-known things. I think you can just hear Kuching by knowing this Pasar Satu, all the main tourist center. So we are thinking about having this because actually it has a very promising revenue and income. And why not benefit the locals instead of maybe some tour agents outside there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm thinking about having the connection through a community. And we came out with this backyard tour guide to connect the tourists to the locals. And why don't they just introduce their, their houses, their places around, because like my own house is like at the back of my house there's a big mountain. So it's like, why don't they just go there and introduce to them? And it's, instead of introducing, you can actually gain some income from it.
But it's a big project, Abby. How did
it's
you?
It's actually a very big project. I didn't
And know. How old are you, 24? At 24, to embark on a project like that, it is risky. It is, did you have the confidence to do it?
I have friends and connections, so I'm thinking about starting small, actually. It's just an idea. So when I send the ideas to this Prabhudi Baganda, I didn't expect it to be accepted. But since I just graduated last month, so I was like, why don't do it? Since I can just spend my time for this project first and try to commit on it. Who knows, the opportunity is open and it turns out well.
And that was an idea. Mm. When did you get it off the ground? Only after you were part of the challenge?
Or? Yes.
Okay, so we'll come back to the workings of it. What about yourself, Sue? I mean, you are from Les Petites Chefs. What was your social impact all about?
I was supplying cakes to cafes and hotels, so I always have lots of cakes, extra cakes, and I've been donating all these cakes to the kids in orphanages on a weekly basis. And you would be surprised that most kids there, they are not orphans. They are actually from broken families, single-parent families, and that's why they will get more and more orphanages. Not because those kids were dumped in the bins or what, but they are just sent by their either single mother or single father, or because the family couldn't afford to raise those kids, and they parked them at the orphanages. Mm-hmm. So having orphanages is, yes, it's a treatment to the social the problem, but how do we treat the root cause? Well, I'm not a counsellor, I won't be able to counsel broken families, but at least I was thinking that what I can do is to increase the income of single mothers while working from home, so that they can supervise their children, provide a better upbringing, make sure that they complete their studies and send them to universities and colleges, and know a 0% juvenile delinquency rate.
Okay.
Yeah, so all this is doable by having the single moms baking from home. So that's where I come in. I train them how to bake, and after that, I sell the cookies that they bake.
Very nice. And based on your business, so you sell it through your business?
True. We go through mainly corporate, and not so much of retail. We're trying to target corporate pantries, so the cookies will actually be there. And also at events, functions, you get door gifts, you know, or hampers, festive season hampers. So this is meaningful because you not only bring smile to the recipients, but you should bring food to the tables of the single mothers.
And this was running before the Prabhudi Baganda Social Impact
Challenge?
Yeah,
we started in October, actually.
Last year?
It's not too long ago, yeah, last year.
And, you know, when you decided to do this, what sort of support did you really need, Sue?
Manpower is definitely one, because handling single mothers, frankly, it's not that easy.
What were some of the challenges?
They are a bit demotivated. They need a lot of motivation. They lack the drive. And they need a lot of spoon feeding. So if you want them to come over to your center, you got to ferry them personally all the way from their homes. And even that too, they've got lots of family problems. 1 week, the aunt will pass away and they can't make it. And the next week, another aunt would be sick. They have to be there to take care of them. So they have a lot on their plate. So we'll have to see how we can actually solve it for them, you know, because all these things take time away from their job.
Structurally, yeah. I know you want to do more, right? Mm. All of you want to do more.
Yes.
But in terms of Dick, when it comes to the food box enterprise, up to what extent can you go based on the resources that you have, after which you find that, you know, you've come to a roadblock and you need someone to help you through this? What sort of support do you need to take this to the next level?
Funding, indeed. So when we first started,
it's all about money, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, no matter what.
And you know what? And whatever said and done, social impact, whatever that you want to do, you need to eat yourself.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, you can't be doing this for free for the
rest
of
your life. We need to feed our team.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So funding.
Yeah. Initially, when we started, we were still a small team. So what I did was, I get together. I called upon my friends to join me. Those I find people with a very diverse skill set, so we form an all-rounded team. So because we are able to delegate tasks, you know, get them to do tasks that is good in their field, and then get them to minimize the resources. And so from there, we actually utilize less resources to get the project running. And then in terms of the support we need, and we need a lot of mentorship, need a lot of mentorship, and of course networking, because we need to link with our advertisers, because this is about advertising and also distribution. So we are catering to two different aspects. So we need people who can get us connected with businesses and also like corporate, so that to get them to advertise on our food box. And then we need people to actually distribute the thing. So initially, when we first started, we don't have all those things. So I get a team from different backgrounds. I form a diverse team, and then some will get to handle the distribution, the logistic part of the project. So some will be handling the web development. So yeah, that actually get everything going in the first place. And then we...
And everybody worked for free.
Yes, voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then we actually get a loan from our university entrepreneurship department. So our university has been very supportive on entrepreneurship aspect. So yeah, it's pretty tough in the first few months when we first started.
Okay, and when did you start this?
In February last year. Actually, formally in February, we started like more into idea validation, and then research and development, and then we first started our first distribution in September last year.
A lot of thought has gone into it.
Yes,
not only just in terms of funding, but advice on how to carry out the business.
Yeah.
I mean, did you grapple with that, Abby? Did you find that, you know, you didn't quite know how to run this business?
It's really a new start for me, because from this competition, Mabudi Baganda, then I was like, okay, let's start. So I go to meet some of our YB there and ask for the advice. Some of them are willing to support in terms of advice, and they suggest us to, actually they're suggesting us to meet Sarawak Tourism Board under the Ministry of Tourism. So we have to consider meeting them. But for now, since I'm starting small, I'm thinking about recruiting people first. So actually it's a long way to go. But for this period of Mabudi Baganda, since it's end, it will end on April.
Yes.
Then we will consider of starting and looking whether this concept is working. So maybe in the future, that after is, if it's considered successful, we will make it official. And actually, we have to have licensing also to have a tour guide for
to guide you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you've been now given 25,000 ringgit.
Yes.
Because of this Mabudi Baganda challenge, to carry out these interventions. So now you have the money. How did you embark on the project?
We will first start on... Actually, we are thinking about supporting them in terms of training. And these people are actually... our target are unemployed youth back in their home, that back in their kampung. So we are thinking about asking them, approach them, train them in our own capacity first. Then if they're successful, they will become... Actually, it's unofficial, so-called unofficial tour guide. Mm-hmm. So we could say it's just a host to their own place. So people coming and they see if they got incomes, if they can have consistent generate money from this work, then they only consider they will be open, more open to be an established tour guide in their place. So I think after that we will do official licensing for them so that they can get official in terms of legalistic la, because it's not allowed also to do things without any legal terms, right? So they are going to,
but baby steps, step by step.
This is actually a baby step only.
And then ultimately you get certified, and then, you know, hopefully everything else falls into place.
Yes, actually.
Okay, and yourself, Sue, part of the Mabudi Baganda challenge, you've got 25,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
How are you using that money? Have you been guided as to how to, you know, allocate the money, which area, that sort of thing?
They did ask like what I'm going to do with the 25,000. So how these moms are going to work from home is that they will have to own a whole set of equipment, ovens, mixers, you know, and all the trays. So at this point of time, they are not capable of purchasing that, because we're talking about probably 2 to 3 grand to own the whole set. So I was hoping to use this amount, the 25,000, to buy a few ovens and the mixers so that they can start baking from home rather than coming over to my center, because getting them over is quite troublesome, even on their end. They actually have been asking me, when am I going to get my oven so that I can bake whenever I'm free, you know, like after. They usually work as factory workers or janitors, so some of them have got like half day free. So once they're home, they actually prefer to start baking so that they can produce more. So part of the money will be used to purchase this equipment for them, and obviously I'll need to hire some people for my team and do some marketing. Okay. Because to reach out to the corporate, I think you need marketing and sales probably.
We're discussing social innovation, or the Budi Buganda Social Impact Innovation Challenge. In this session, we're discussing empowering local communities. Sue is actually involved in empowering single mothers, but through baking. Dick is actually trying to save the environment as far as he, you know, as much as he can, trying to convert eateries to move away from styrofoam boxes to more eco-friendly packaging.
Yeah.
And of course, Abby trying to establish an ecotourism business somewhat to help the Bidayo community back in Sabah. We'll come back and find out more about Sue. I want to find out about one of your challenges you mentioned with single mothers and single parents is mental health. How do you go about dealing with that? Up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. We're discussing the Budi Buganda Social Impact Innovation Challenge by Agency Innovasi Malaysia. In this session, we're talking about how three of the 12 finalists with me are trying to empower local communities through their social impact or social cause. And all very young individuals, I'm very impressed as to how you've all decided to embark on in this. I don't even know whether to call it a business. Maybe we should, because if it isn't a business, then it doesn't quite, in the long run, it doesn't quite work, isn't it? So you were talking about how you're empowering single mothers through baking so that they can actually supplement their income to get out of this social trap they're in at the moment. Mm-hmm. But earlier on, you spoke about mental health, how it's very difficult for these ladies. They are demotivated, they have a whole lot of issues to deal with. But how do you deal with that? I mean, you've got the funding, you've got the guidance, but how do you deal with mental health issues?
So what I do, I don't take, at this point of time, I don't take any random single mothers. My first requirement is that they have to love baking. Because by not loving baking, you won't be able to carry on. It's
tiring.
It needs
tiring. To be a passion. Yeah.
Yes, it's tiring. So, and I'm going to actually pass an oven and a whole set of equipment to you. I wouldn't want them to quit halfway and, you know, the whole thing goes down the drain. Yeah. So once, at least I've got someone who loves baking, I think other hurdles is still easier to overcome. Once they love baking and they have it at their convenience, which means the oven's actually at home, I don't have to worry so much about, okay, the weekends. Because weekends, we're talking about only 2 days. And 2 days, after they've worked for 5 days, they will have to cater to their children, their family members. Yep. I totally understand why sometimes they can't come over, you know, to actually bake at our center. So that's why I actually want them to bake from home. Because even weekdays, they will be able to bake after they have finished their work. That is the requirement set with them. If you were to receive this set of equipment, you have to commit at least for a start 3 days of your weekdays to work at after working hours, and also your weekends as well, so that they can actually hit a target of 800 ringgit a month. That's a part-time job. And hopefully, as they slowly see how successful this is going to be, they can then slowly quit their day job and fully focus on this so that they can be full-time at home with their kids and also earning a very good income.
Okay. Yeah. But so you already had a baking business going before you embarked on this.
True.
So was it a little easier for you compared to if you just were like Abby, you know,
definitely
from scratch, trying to get this off the ground with nothing really? I mean, you can at least fall back on something.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, obviously, you have to know baking. Then only you can probably share with them how their lives are going to be so that they have a right mindset. You know, most of the time, people come in blindly. They think that, okay, I think I'm going to do it. And they don't realize how tough it is until someone actually shares with them. So that's a plus point. And also, I've got an existing baking activity center where they can come over to bake. And that's where we do our packing and also where we do our training for the single mom. So in a way, it's definitely easier. If you don't have all these things, you just actually need more funding and more time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to set things up, I think these are the two main things, plus manpower.
Of course. And, you know, we always forget about you, right? Your mental state, your support. Yeah. You know, you need to be, you're the pillar in all of this. Because if you are unable to stand, then everything else falls through. How do you keep yourself going and focused and, you know, positive, being positive? And I'm sure there'll be days when you just feel like,
so down
why am
and
I
depressed.
Doing this? You know?
Whenever I visit the orphanages and I see how happy those kids are, you know, and why they are all neglected by their parents just because they can't afford to bring up the children, I think it's really unfair to the kid. So I really, really hope that these mothers can be there for them. You know, they need the proper guidance. They need to have a proper family so that they don't end up broken as well. You know, it's a very vicious cycle.
Yes.
If your mom is broken, the child will usually end up the same. So we really need to target the root cause and to hope that this their future family can break out of the vicious cycle. So that's what keeps me going, you know, because I visit them almost once a week. So you get to see them, you get to bond with them. Yeah, so of course there are days when I need some time off, really. You need to shut everything off. You know, you don't do anything at all. You just find something that you love doing rather than spending time thinking about how you're going to help those moms and stuff. Yeah. You definitely need those times.
Yeah.
We're not robots.
Of course. So downtime for you as well.
Yeah.
Dick, what about yourself? You know, how do you keep yourself standing all the time?
In the early stage of our project, so we actually conducted a lot of interaction with the people. We conducted campaigns to create awareness, and then we have a lot of people coming in and thank us for doing this. They thank us for doing this and actually told us that, hey, why there's no one doing it? So great job. Some even donated money to us, even though we did not request.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like really motivated. Okay, and then I presented my idea to my lecturers, and they were really happy. We actually came up with a viable idea to tackle those issues, and that actually keep me going. And then we have to stay united in a team, you know, encouraging each other. That's really important. And the most important thing is the passion. You have to have passion to keep you going, because whenever you feel down, whenever there's setback, and then you have to understand why do you first started in the first place. Yeah.
And how does a challenge like this sort of help you speed up that process of, you know, get rid of all these obstacles in the way?
I think it actually helps us to pivot, to think another way of doing it, refining our ideas, right? So it's a very good, when you have a challenge, you actually think of another way of solving the problems. So it actually just keep us refining our ideas, make it better and better. Yeah. So actually, there are a lot of challenges along the way, like because we were still studying at time, and then we have to allocate time for the project. We have to rent car to go out to look for advertisers. We have to do cold calling, walk-ins, and a lot of stuff. We have to like really manage our time well, and we have to deal with our assignments, presentations, and it's really tough in the initial stage of the project.
You're still studying now, Dick?
Actually, I just graduated. Right now, I'm having my internship. So while doing my internship, I have to like do the project at the same time. So right now I'm actually taking leave for my internship
to carry out this challenge till April.
All right.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Abby, yourself, what keeps you going?
Okay, since the starting point of me for me, it's actually what I feel is a vision that God really put in me. It's a vision that I've been dreaming since 3 years back, and then I was like, I don't know when to start. I just hope that if God want me to do this, then he'll provide everything. And I didn't expect, right after I graduated last month, I was given this opportunity. It was actually a miracle to me. So for me to start, I believe that God will prepare the people for me. For now on, I like having 3 members, and there will be 1 full-time with me voluntarily. We might have minimal allowance for ourselves, but the rest of the funding that we have is going to be for these people. So we are like having such a such a really baby step lah. Mm-hmm. I cannot say that because these other two projects are really like established already. Yeah. They already started like 1 year, you could say so. About, almost yeah. 1 year. And for me it's really like just started. So I believe because I want to do something for my community.
Yeah. And the challenge, like, how is the challenge going to help you?
And the challenge, let me talk about the challenge first, because the challenge now are these youth are really didn't see the importance of having tourism, ecotourism at their own place as a revenue, as the income for themselves. They rather just work as a in agriculture, mm-hmm. or anything so that they can support themselves, but didn't see tourism as part of the attractive, lucrative money for them to do work. So
you need to change their mindset.
Yes, is first the mindset.
A very big challenge. Yeah,
very big challenge. But I've got people, friends that can connect me to them, which is actually better. And I myself from that area, so I just want to be with them, to see around them, get involved with their life and help them. Like it's really a personal experience that I'm gonna do within these 3 months.
Yeah,
and That makes me keep going, like, actually.
You know, besides funding, I think you need to get people to buy in. Yeah. Buy into the idea. And that is...
Believe in you.
Yes, and that is crucial. Yes. You need people to trust you. Yeah. How did you get past that? How did you get people to understand that you were indeed wanting to do good?
To get the single moms to believe in me?
Yeah.
Well, number one is you need to have frequent sessions with them. You need to meet them regularly. You got to tell them the plans, what's going to happen next. And you must always go back to them. If you lose touch with them, they will just, you know, they'll slowly will drift further and further away and they'll forget about it. Because that's another challenge, because you always need to touch base with them, tell them the plans, how they're going to benefit from it, how the children, because their main concern is actually children. So I can see that as a drive for them. If they want the children to do well, they want the children to do better than them, this is one of the ways where they can be there to supervise, to monitor their children and also provide a better lifestyle. So I use that, the children, as a drive for them. And that's how they buy into the project. And they know that since they love baking, it makes it easier as well for them.
Dick, how did you get advertisers to part with money?
To get advertisers, you have to let them see the value in your project.
And how did you get them to understand the value?
So,
is it all about money?
It's not really. Like for some companies, they do. They would like to participate in a lot of corporate social responsibility as part of their initiative, their company initiative, and some of them are really tapping into imaging, business visibility. They want to advertise their brands, so we actually get into the businesses and then we tell them basically what we are doing. And then we presented our plan and tell them how is this food box advertising concept is going to help them build up their reputation, mm-hmm. in a way that not conventional advertising method could bring. So this is how we actually convince the advertisers. And for the restaurants aspect, we actually get them. Actually, it's quite easy for us because they're actually getting the food box at a much cheaper price. So we are catering to two different aspects, actually.
Okay. Yeah. So if you win the 30,000 ringgit, which is part of this challenge, and you beat all of them, what would you do with that money?
Okay, with that money, because right now we plan on getting students to get involved in this project, because we cannot do this alone. We need a team. And my plan is expand to universities and also private and also public institutions, because we need to get students to involve in this kind of entrepreneurial activities, and then get them to replicate the idea in a university, and then get things going. And we hope we'll have a more structured team then, and get form up a marketing and sales team to get advertisers, because it's really tough to get advertiser with a small team, because you do not have enough resources to like go out every day, you know, do cold calling. Yeah, it is just insane.
Okay, and how will you utilize the 30,000?
This is actually our first step to get the people, and first the resources,
yeah.
the human resources to be the of course we need places, and that's our target, what, to promote these places. The next phase we want to do is actually developing website or apps to actually open up more more audience in the world through internet, because we are thinking about promoting it. One thing about doing ecotourism is your marketing. If your places is unknown and still didn't reach to these tourists all over the world, then how can they come over to Sarawak? That has been a problem since few years back, that these places are not known. Mm. So we are thinking about developing website and apps, anything related to internet as a tools, a powerful tools to promote to these people. That's our main thing, the second phase for our, and actually this is still an individual project. It's a team of four people. So I'm thinking about having it to transit into another form of, maybe you could say, enterprise, so that it can function better.
Of course. So become like a social enterprise.
Yes.
Okay. And Sue?
The 30,000.
Yeah.
Oh, because the first...
Think of the number of mixes.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can buy.
Yeah, I'm excited thinking about it, because with 25 grand, let's say I deduct a certain amount for marketing, probably I can reach out to five to eight moms. And that's only 5 to 8. I mean, if I have another 30 grand, I can easily reach out to another 10. And that's amazing. I mean, if the single mothers, because they are a close-knit community, if they see one of them succeed in their lives through this program, that's how they're going to bring in more single mothers. And they are actually my advertising agents. I wouldn't have to reach out to more single mothers. They will actually pull in more single mothers to join this group. So the 30 grand will definitely be purchasing those equipments for them, so that they can really start baking from home.
Do you think everyone should aspire to be a change maker?
We can't force everyone to be that. I want to make a change to the community, to everyone else. But some people are just comfortable and satisfied leading a simple life, common life. So obviously it would be better if everyone thinks like us, so the world will be a better place. But I still believe we can't force everyone else to think like us.
Abby, do you think everyone should be a change maker, or at least should aspire to be a change maker?
Yes, I believe so. I see people around me, they are making impact in their own areas as well. So it's actually inspire me, and having them to inspire other people is actually very, very thankful.
Dick, what about yourself?
I do believe.
And you know, many people think it's government's job to deal with social change, right? Yeah. Government can't deal with everything.
Yeah.
So do you think every one of us should aspire to be a change maker?
Yeah, I do believe everyone has the ability to be the change maker. All of us actually plays a very significant role in our community. So yes, we just have to contribute a little. So when it all sums up, accumulate, and it will be a much bigger impact to the community. Mm. Yes, you just have to do your part. You know, just do your part properly.
Thank you all very much for joining
us.
And you know, I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
May the best person win.
Yes, yes.
But you know, whatever it is, you're going to take away something from the whole experience.
Exactly.
Well, thank you again for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
There was Su Xiao Yin from Les Petites Chefs, Dick Lim Utek, managing partner and co-founder of Food Box Enterprise, and Abby Hosanna from the Backyard Tour Guide. We were discussing the Barbudi Buganda Social Impact Innovation Challenge by Agency Innovasi Malaysia on empowering local communities. To find out more about the Barbudi Buganda Social Impact Innovation Challenge, do visit innovation.my, or you can follow them on Twitter at Barbudi Buganda. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.